Okay. Holy Spirit's trying to preach my sermon again, so... Amen. Just awesome. We are going to keep this actually short. We will not be dismissing for children's church. Kids, if the kids need to get up and leave for a little bit, you know, they can do so. But they can hang out here. We're not going to be that long. I promised the ladies in the kitchen that I will not run long today. And I don't have to because the Holy Spirit already preached 90% of the message. Yeah, so let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8. We're going to be reading the first 10 verses. Again, while we put it up on the screen, I encourage you, bring your own Bible. That way you can highlight, you can mark, you can put a little note there and say, hey, Pastor, you missed this, or I don't think you got that right. Or maybe, yeah, he got it. Those notes can be very helpful later times. Okay, again, Isaiah chapter 8, starting with verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with an ordinary pen. Meir Shalah Hashbaz." Okay, now this means quick to the plunder, just so you know. Okay. "And I will call in Uriah the priest and Zechariah son of Jeberechiah as reliable witnesses for me. Then I went to the prophetess, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said to me, name him quick to the plunder. Before the boy knows how to say, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria will be carried off by the king of Assyria. The Lord spoke to me again. Because this people has rejected the gently flowing waters of Shiloh and rejoices over Rezin and the son of Remaliah, therefore the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty floodwaters of the river, the king of Assyria with all his pomp. It will overflow all its channels, run over all its banks, and sweep into Judah, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land. O Emmanuel, raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands, prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand. For God is with us," or Emmanuel. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you indeed are with us, Emmanuel. Lord, we've heard testimony already this morning of the fact that you are the Lord of creation. We're saying you are Lord of all. We have testified that we are each one yours, and that you guide and direct according to your will. Father, we come before you this morning seeking to know you more, to be encouraged by you, to be blessed through the hearing of your word. Lord, I pray that as I preach this morning, your people would be encouraged and blessed. Lord, I pray that your truth would be the one lifted up, that your name the one glorified, and that Jesus would be lifted up above all. Father, be present here now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Emmanuel. I'm wearing my name tie this morning. Ed walked up to me this morning and says, I'm going to go blind trying to read this thing. But it has. "And he shall be called," in red, and then names of God. One of which is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you have heard the name Emmanuel before? How many of you know how many times it's found in Scripture? Four. Four times. That's it. We have three of them here in Isaiah chapter 7 and 8. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, what's Isaiah talking about? He's talking about the kingdom of Judah, about Jerusalem, who has a king named Ahaz, who's not such a great guy. In fact, he's one of the low points in the kings of Israel and Judah. And that's saying something. Okay? This man, when he died, was not buried in the temple or in the graveyard with the rest of the kings of Judah and Israel. No, 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 no. They said, he doesn't deserve to be buried here. It doesn't say where he was buried, but it says he was not laid with his fathers. Specifically, points that out. Now, I would encourage you to be reading not just Isaiah, as I'm preaching through Isaiah, but visit Kings and Chronicles, too. When you read 2 Kings 16, it talks about Ahaz and the time where he was king. And if you read 2 Chronicles chapter 28, it's going to tell you about some of the things that he did as king. And you get kind of a sense of the man, which isn't good. He built temples to other gods. He sacrificed his own son to Baal. Yet he is the one who is over Jerusalem. He's the king of Judah. And he has the prophet Isaiah speaking to him and giving him advice, and God seeking to bring blessing to him and to the kingdom. Even though his man is walking outside of God's will, even though he is intentionally worshiping other gods, I guess because he respects these other people. He respects the king of Assyria. In fact, so much, instead of trusting in God, he trusts in him. And contrary to Isaiah's advice to trust in God, he seeks the king of Assyria's assistance over Syria and Samaria. These are the groups that are spoken of with Rezin and the son of Remaliah. And God had told them that these guys are going to be wiped out, and the people were all excited. Hey, they're not going to be able to take us on because they were afraid. Okay, we talked about this last week. They were afraid. But Isaiah said, you don't need to be afraid. For God is with you, Emmanuel. And he asked for, said, pick any sign you want. And he wouldn't do it. See, he tried God. He's tested God's patience by saying, I'm not going to test God. Okay, we looked at that and we saw how we need to trust God and obey Him. Here in this passage, we see the prophet, Isaiah, who has the name Yahweh is salvation, or God is salvation, instructed to name his own son quick to the plunder. And he has his witnesses, the priest Zechariah, and not quite sure what position Zechariah had. But the priest Uriah means fire of God, fire of Yahweh. And Zechariah's name means Yahweh remembered. Now these names are important. They're symbolic. They mean something. They're not by chance. See, God doesn't do things by chance. You think we had the testimonies that we had today? You think we had the songs that were selected today? Just because I happened, just by chance? No, God organized all this and directed us. We didn't communicate all this and come up with this plan and organize it. Lord knows, I am not that organized. My mom is laughing. And so are all the elders. Yeah, we know. Now this is what God has done. He is showing that He's the one in charge. In fact, He tells them specifically that He's the one who's bringing the king of Assyria with all his pomp in. He's the one bringing him. And you thought he was your friend? He's not your friend. He's actually my instrument of discipline. Judgment against Israel and Samaria, but against Judah, it's discipline. Swirls of the water of the river, Assyria is going to be up to the necks of the people. Anybody here ever been in a river with swirling water? Pretty thing. Have water up to your neck. Can't, you know, it's a little disconcerting. I'm a strong swimmer, but you get in a strong current, and you can't fight the current. And it talks about the swirling waters. There's a reason to be afraid of swirling waters. You know how much water it takes to sweep somebody away? A few inches. How much you need to drown? About that much. God's bringing the river at flood stage, which is the army of Assyria, against His own people. Oh! But in the midst of this, before He tells them this, He tells them about Emmanuel, like Emmanuel is coming. And then, in the midst of this, just in verse 8, it says, and sweeping to Jerusalem, swirling over it, and through, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck, its outsprings wings will cover the breadth of your land. O Emmanuel. Is this a cry? A cry, God be with us in the midst of their turmoil? Or is it a promise that God is with them? And that God is the one that's in control, as much as everything seems that it's swirling out of control. I would say it is both. It is a cry, God be with us, and a recognition of, yes, indeed, God is with us. Even when we don't realize it. Butch was talking about that, you know, how can you can be in the desert, how can you be someplace and not feel God, but you know what? There's times where we don't feel God. Does that mean God's not there? No. God is there. And He is in control. Even when it seems like it's out of control. What's our job at this point? To recognize. And remember that God is faithful. And that God is indeed Emmanuel. God is with us. He's not off the stage left, going to come back later. He's here, right now. Quite often, frankly, we don't live our lives most of the time like God is with us. Anybody here ever done something that you wouldn't do if there was somebody looking over your shoulder? Guess what? God is right there with you. When you did that. When you thought that. God was right there. He experienced it with you. Oh. That's disconcerting. Raise the war cry. Do the best you can. You know. Here it's like, Raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it will be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand. Why? Because for God is with us. For Emmanuel. Our plans, the plans of our enemies, they're not going to stand against God in His plans. God is the one who's in control. As much as we try to think we are, we try to make things go the way we want. We need to recognize that God is with us and that God is the one who's the one ordering the kingdoms of the world to move. God moves the kingdom of Assyria to come in judgment. God is the one who keeps that hand from actually wiping out Jerusalem, but keeps the city of Jerusalem safe, the head that is up on the mountain, the hill. There is the rest of Judah and Israel and Samaria and everybody else is all wiped out, and Assyria comes in and hauls everybody away. God's in control. He's the one who sent him. He's the one who took him away. He could only go as far as God would let him. We say, well, okay, if God's the one who's in control, and they can't go any farther than He allows it, God, please stop what's going on in my life right now, because it's gone farther than I can deal with. Well, therein lies the problem. You're trying to deal with it. We try to deal with it. I do the same thing, people. I'm not being accusatory here. This is our issue. We're supposed to let God deal with it. We're supposed to do as He directs us to do. We're supposed to recognize that He is with us and trust in Him to do it. Now do what it is He tells us to do. But we need to remember that Emmanuel, that God is with us. God is in control. God is with us. So why are we trying to grab control? You know, if I'm in a car and there's nobody in the driver's seat, then I'm going to reach over and try to grab and be in control. But you know what? If there's somebody already in the driver's seat, why am I trying to grab it? God is indeed the one in the driver's seat, people. It's just our perception that's messed up. We keep thinking we're the ones in charge. Yeah, we're not. But neither have we been abandoned. Even when we're in the midst of the most discouraging, terrible circumstances we could possibly imagine. Look at what is happening to Judah at this time. We're talking an army coming in and wiping everybody out. Every friends, neighbors, hillsides, the vineyards destroyed, the fields shattered. What do you have? World out of control. It looks like it, but it's not out of control. God is in control. In the midst of that, God hasn't abandoned us, but He's right there with us. So let us remember that. Let us pray. Father God, we come before You. Help us to remember Emmanuel, that You, Lord, are indeed with us each and every day. That You've never left us, that You will not forsake us or abandon us, and that there's not anything that's outside of Your control. There's nothing too big or too small. That no matter what, You are there and You want to bless us. Lord, help us not to push aside Your blessing. Lord, this is our problem. As Ahaz pushed aside the blessing, as the people of Judah pushed aside the blessing of having You as their God, and they sought other gods to worship. Lord, might we not be the same way? Might we trust only in You? Fully in You. May we receive Your blessing. Lord, might we rest in your arms, knowing that you are indeed in control and that you are with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and we close by